If you'll take your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter number 19. We'll be taking our reading from John chapter number 19 and a few other places this morning, but the others Shannon will have up for us on the screens. I do want to say again, I'm thankful for our sound people. They get overlooked unless something is going wrong, and I do want to tell Randall and Shannon how much I love them and appreciate them for taking that responsibility on. I know there's a whole lot of other people that have hands in that, and I really do appreciate you for it. Before we get started though this morning, I do want to remind you for today and maybe one more week, we're going to leave a paper in the back about baby dedications. If you have a baby that you want to have dedicated, we say babies, but maybe you weren't in church when your babies were born. Maybe you were not in a place, and your kid may be older, and you say, you know, I would want to dedicate my kids unto the Lord. That's just fine. We can handle that. And it's not anything. We're not going to dunk them underwater. We're not going to christen them. We're not going to sprinkle them or baptize them or anything else. We're going to pray for them that God guide their life and God that guide your life as you lead them. But if you want to do that, please sign up there back there in the back so we can get a date set for that. Also, we are going to have a baptizing here before long. I know I've got two or three that signed up in the back. If you will, sign up for that just so that we can have an opportunity to know how to prepare for that. One last announcement, the 11th, 12th, 13th of October, we're having revival. Brother Randy Johnson from Marlow Road Baptist Church is going to come and preach revival for us. Look, he cannot bring revival with him. He's going to come preach the word of God, and we as a church body need to come in one mind and one accord, seeking for God to move in our church and for God to send revival to our church. You know, I feel like that we have been in revival for 3 years now. I feel like God is moving in an amazing way, and this is just a time that we can get together and have three extra nights of being together as a family and being together in God's house and letting God speak to us. So mark that on your calendar. I guarantee you, you will not get a blessing from revival if you're not here. So do your best to be here and support our church in revival. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and just ask Him for His blessings this morning. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. And God, I'm nothing this morning. God, without You in my heart and in my life, God, I am absolutely nothing. And God, I can't do anything without You. And that's, God, I come to You now asking You, God, just to move on me, God. Get me and my feeble mind and my mistakes and everything out of the way. And God, I ask You just to use me and speak through me this morning. God, I pray for every spiritual need that's here today, God. Dear Lord, whatever that need is, I know that You're able to touch those needs. God, we pray that You'll just help us all to be closer when we leave here than we were when we came in the doors. God, I pray, dear Father, if there's one here today that's lost, God, I pray that today will be the day that they receive that small measure of faith, that they hear that still small voice, God, and they come and accept You before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray a special prayer for Alyssa, God. I pray that You'll move in her life, God. I pray that You'll just reach down and touch her body in a miraculous way, God. And God, I pray that You'll touch her family, be with them, comfort them, give them peace, God. And I pray that You'll just help them in the days to come, God, to know that You're right there with them. God, we thank You and we praise You most of all for loving sinners like us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. John chapter number 19, before we begin reading, if you go back and read John chapter number 18, you'll find that Jesus has been on trial. And that Jesus, you know, and it was a rule of the Passover that when the Passover was coming, that they would release a prisoner. And they've got Jesus and Barabbas. And Barabbas was a thief. He was a wicked man. And they put them both out before the people. And they say, okay, we're going to let you choose which one is going to be released. Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Now, we know what all the good things that Jesus did here. And we know that He was the true Son of God. And here as these two stand together and the people begin to shout, Barabbas, we want you to release Barabbas. I cannot believe that people will choose wickedness over Jesus Christ. But here we are 2,000 years later, 2018, and people are still choosing wickedness over Jesus Christ. So here we come to chapter number 19, verse number 1. They have released Barabbas. Jesus is now going to be crucified. Verse number 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. He whipped Him. He went out there and they took the cat of nine tails and they ripped open His flesh. Verse number 2, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head. And they put on Him a purple robe. Now all this was done to make fun of Jesus. This was not in a true reverence way that they was recognizing Him as king. They put this purple robe of royalty on Him to mock Him. Verse number 3, and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote Him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth and saith unto Him, Behold, I bring Him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in Him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw Him, they cried out, saying, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! And Pilate saith unto him, Take ye Him and crucify Him, for I find no fault in Him. You know, isn't it amazing how Pilate was always wanting to wash his hands and distance himself from what was going on? How he's always wanting to say, look, I don't want to be guilty. But I want to tell you this morning, as we sit here, even in Fellowship Baptist Church, these many years later, that each and every one of us is guilty for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That each and every one of us put him on the cross. That each and every one of us, in one way or another, that we have driven the nails in his hands and in his feet. That we have put that crown of thorns on him. That we have beat him. Oh, no, no, preacher, I've never done all of that. Well, if you've ever sinned against God, then it was for you that Jesus Christ was put on this cross. Verse number 7, then the Jews answered to him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Pilate just didn't realize he didn't have any power at all. They didn't take Jesus' life, but he freely gave it for you and I. Verse number 11, there's about 10 messages, and I'm going to do my best not to preach them all right here. Verse number 11, Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth, Peter sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that was called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him and two other, with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Boy, there she are, worried about the law. They've just killed the King of the Jews. They've just killed their king, and they're all worried about the law. Ain't that the way we are now? We're worried about religion and everything else. We're worried about whether somebody might like the music that we listen to. We're worried about, I want to tell you what, you give God glory with your life, and you quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. You line up with the Word of God, and you give God glory with your life and point others to the cross of Christ, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If God's got something to speak to you about your life, I promise you, He will speak to you, and He will change you in whatever way He needs to. For that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and they might be taken away. Verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. just to signify and just to let us know that Jesus Christ did die on this cross. This was not that he passed out. This was not anything. Jesus did die on this cross. And he sat, and he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Ain't it amazing how all this scripture was being fulfilled that was told way back in the Old Testament? Verse number 37. I'm going to read the remainder of the chapter. I think this is a very important chapter in the Bible. We're going to get to a point here in just a minute. Verse number 37. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man yet laid. Didn't need it for long. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. As we look at God's word this morning, as we look at this, I want to call it a terrible event that happened in God's word. I want to look at this for just a moment, and let's look at it as a very tragic day in the life of Christianity, in the life of the Jewish people, that they have killed their king. They have killed the one that came to be their Messiah. But I want us to also look at this as this is the best day ever for us as Christians. This is a day that Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to shed his life's blood for you and I. Because you see, since the Old Testament, anytime that there was a sin, anytime that there was something that you did in your life that needed to be covered, there had to be a blood sacrifice for that sin. And in the Old Testament, we know that they would take this blood sacrifice and they would walk into the temple. The priest would take their blood and he would apply it there to the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would fall down around that mercy seat, and that sacrifice would be made. And they had to do that once a year, every year. But I want you to know that there would become a time when that sacrifice was no longer going to be sufficient for what we had to do. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 22, the Bible tells us, without shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. Seemed like I heard that last Sunday. Anybody else hear that last Sunday? Amen. I want to tell you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So this morning, without Jesus shedding his blood, and in the Old Testament, without the blood of the bulls and the goats and the turtle doves and the different things, there was no possible way to have forgiveness of your sins. But I want to tell you something. Let's look at another verse of Scripture before I get ahead of myself. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 1 through 4. For the law, having shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, they brought this sacrifice year after year, but it was never going to make them perfect. Verse number 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. I want to tell you something. When I bring my sin to Jesus Christ and I give it to him and I truly repent and turn away from my sin, that thing don't eat me alive anymore. It's gone. My conscience is now clear of that. I have been forgiven. It has been washed away, cast as far as the east is from the west. Verse number 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. You had to remember those things every year and come up with them. Verse number 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away the sins. So Jesus had to have, we had to have a perfect sacrifice through Jesus Christ. And let's go back to verse number 30. Of John chapter number 19. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. When God created us, and he knew when he created us, don't try to understand this, just believe it on the authority of God's word, because the Bible tells us before the foundations of the world that you and I are chosen, before the foundations of the world that God had a plan. So when God created us, he knew that we were going to choose wrong. He knew that we were going to have sin, and he had prepared his son Jesus Christ before sin ever happened, before Adam and Eve ever fell in the garden. I want to tell you that Jesus was already the plan for us, that God already had that in place place for us. Man, how he loves us to know that we're going to fall and make mistakes, and yet he still chose us, and yet he still loves us. What a God that we're serving this morning. But there was a plan put into place, and I want you to know that that plan was Jesus Christ. They knew that once upon that somewhere in history that the blood of the bulls and goats was no longer going to be sufficient, that we was going to be guilty of our sins, and they had a plan in place, and Jesus Christ was that plan. And Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven. He come out of heaven and come to this earth. He was born in a manger as a little baby. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a manger as a little baby, and he lived here on this earth for 33 and a half years or something close to that. And while he was here, he faced the same things that we face, and Jesus was our plan. And I want you to know that there on that cross, when he cried, I want you to know that there was even a time there on the cross that when my sin and Shane, when your sin and Lynn, when your sin was put on him, that sin was so ugly that our God had to turn his back on his own son hanging there on the cross. And Jesus looked at his father and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to tell you why God forsook him. It was because of my sin was that filthy. Your sin was that filthy. But yet Jesus said, I'll take that sin. I'm the plan. I am the sacrifice, and I'll take it. And as he was hanging there on that cross, and he cried out and he said, it is finished. I want you to know that the plan for salvation was finished right then and there, that the blood had been spilled on the cross, that my sin and your sin could now be covered by the blood because the plan was finished there on the cross. The mission was accomplished. The purpose had been taken place. The reason was fulfilled. But I know the Bible tells us not to add to or take away from the Word of God. But you know, as Jesus cried there on the cross, and he said, it is finished. And I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm adding one of my thoughts in here. I'm going to add something. But as Jesus said, it is finished, and he's hanging there on the cross, it's amazing that we didn't hear another voice. When Jesus said, it is finished, it's amazing that we didn't hear somebody say, but it's not over. It is finished, but it's not over. Because just as we read here, how that Joseph come and begged the body of Christ, and how that they took him and they laid him there in the tomb, and they wrapped him in the clothes, I want you to know something, that they laid him in a sepulcher that only had to be buried for a short time. Because as Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, and he cried, it is finished, and the mission had been accomplished, but I want you to know that he wanted us to know that he was the true, the living God, and that we're not serving some man that's laying in a tomb. I'm not serving some little statue up on the wall in my house. I'm not bowing down to a picture that's on my wall, but I'm talking to a living and a holy and a righteous God. And when I get down on my knees and I pray, he inclines his ear to me. I want you to know that as they took him and they laid him there in that sepulcher, and as the guard stood around that tomb and they guarded it day and night to be sure no one came in and no one came out. But I want to tell you something, there's nothing in this world that can hold our King down. That he was there in that tomb for 3 days, but while he was there, he defeated death, hell, and the grave for you and I. And on that third day, he got up out of that grave. They went looking for him, and the only thing they found was an angel saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? It is finished, but it's not over. I'm glad that he completed the plan of salvation there on the cross. Man, I'm excited this morning. I don't know if y'all are or not, but I'm having fun up here. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy, and that's all right. I've been looked at crazy a lot of times in my life, and if I'm going to be crazy about something, I want to be crazy for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that it's finished there on the cross, but it's not over. The plan of salvation is finished. But you see, the plan can be finished, and you can still not be part of it. See, the plan was finished. Everything that was supposed to take place took place. Jesus gave his life. Jesus got up on the third day. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. But I'm so thankful that my plan was complete when I was 7 years old. I don't know when your plan was complete, but I remember when I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want you to know that there that night, the plan for my life was finished. But it's not over. It's not over. You see, God left me here, and I know I say this a whole lot. God's left me here for a reason. If God didn't have a purpose for my life, then the moment that I got saved, he would have took me to heaven. Because there would be no reason for me to be here and go through what we go through. But see, God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and I'm so thankful. Let me just put this little plug in here right now. I'm so thankful that one of my plans and one of my purposes is to be part of Fellowship Baptist Church. Man, I am so thankful that God put me here. I wasn't looking for y'all, and y'all wasn't looking for me, but God put us together, and I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I'm so thankful for that. But God, He gave us a plan and a purpose to give Him glory with our lives, to point others to the cross of Christ, to pray for our family and our loved ones, that they may come to know Jesus Christ so that they know this plan has been finished. I know the plan's finished, but it's not over. Turn with me, or actually, I think Shannon's got it for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My plan is finished. My salvation is secure. I am God's, and there's nothing that you can do about it. There's nothing that any part of this government can do about it. I don't care how much they begin to persecute us, and they begin to shame us, and they begin to say that we can't say this and we can't do that. I belong to God, and there's absolutely nothing that they can do about it. Now, I don't own anything else. If I quit paying my car payment, they'll come get it. If I quit paying my taxes, they'll take my land. But I want to tell you something. There's absolutely nothing they can do with my relationship with God. That's between me and Him. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm tickled to death that nobody can do anything about that. But it's not finished yet. Because the Bible tells us here, He says, one day. Now look, death may catch up with us first. But I believe that we're ever so close. We are ever so close to the church going home. You know, I've been hearing that since I was about this big. But I want to tell you something. You look around and you see what all's going on around us. You see the things that's happening around us. I'm not trying to get you a gloom and doom, because I want to tell you something. It should not be gloom and doom for Christian people. When we look around and we see the bad things that's happening around us, we see the things that's happening in our government, we see the things happening in our world, and it looks like gloom and it looks like doom, we should lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's not going to be long till we're going to be caught up. The Bible tells us that the graves are going to burst wide open, and then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up. I don't know how they're going to explain that, but there's going to be somebody on CNN or MSNBC that's going to try to tell what happened to all these Christian people. But I hope there's somebody around that still got enough sense to say, I know what happened. The church finally went home. It's finished, but it's not over. It's finished, but it's not over. And then if you go to John chapter number 14, I didn't give this one to Shannon. John chapter number 14, beginning in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking to us. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going to tell you, it's finished, but it's not over, church. It's not over. It's going to be over when we're standing in glory. It's going to be over when we're there finally in the presence of God. It's going to be over when all of our troubles and our trials and everything that we put up with here, that's when it's finally going to be over. But the best thing about that, hey, I know it's going to be good to see your loved ones. It's already gone on. Some of you have got children. It's already there. Some of you have got loved ones, husbands, wives, grandmas, grandpas. We've all got people that are special, that are over in heaven, that we're looking forward to see. But I want to tell you something. The day that I finally get to kneel at Jesus' feet and I finally get to thank Him and worship Him. Hey, I'm not like my daughter. I don't have all this going on down here. I don't worship Him in the way that He deserves here on this earth. But I'm going to tell you what, and if I ever do that again, y'all throw me out. I'm going to tell you, but one of these days I'm going to be in the presence of God and I'm going to give Him some true worship, some true honor, some true glory like He deserves, because He was willing to go to that cross and say, it's finished, but it's not over. It's not over. I want to tell you something this morning, church. Sometimes I believe that we forget that our God really is alive. That He really is. And that His Son, sitting there next to Him, is waiting to hear from us. And all of our troubles, all of our trials, and with all of our praise, they're waiting to hear from us. It's finished, but it's not over. I'm looking forward to the day when I see this place. You know, there's all kinds of songs that talk about mansions in heaven. Hey, there are mansions in heaven. I don't know whether I have one or not, but I do know I have a place. He said, I have gone to prepare you a place. It's finished, but it's not over. We're serving a true, a living God. And I think that we take it for granted so many times. Hannah, if you will, come on. We take it for granted so many times that we have a God that we can call on. Now, look, I'm not making fun. I'm not poking fun. I believe that in every, well, probably almost every religion, I ain't going to say every, but almost every religion that there is, that there are probably some true believers in that. But you want to know something? If you mess up tonight and you sin, you allow sin into your life, you ain't got to call me. And I don't have to come down here and sit behind a little booth somewhere and you confess to me. You don't have to do that. The Bible tells me that you have an advocate with the Father. Only thing you got to do is call on Him. Look, don't tell me your sins. You might make me blush. I don't want to know your sin. And I sure ain't going to tell you mine because you won't show up next Sunday. But I am glad that I have a Heavenly Father that I can go to and say, God, I know and I trust in your finished work at Calvary, but I know that my work's not over. God, I know that I'm still supposed to be serving you and worshiping you and praising you and, God, helping other people. God, I know that. And, God, I want to do that. And God, I know that it's all finished in my life, but, God, I'm looking for the day that I'm in your presence. You know, it's pretty cool sometimes how you can FaceTime people. You can call them on the phone. But there's nothing like that physical touch, is there? When you finally get to wrap your arms around them, you've been away from them. That's the way Autumn does me every day when I come home from work. She'll call me two or three times, but boy, when she gets to wrap her arms around me, you can just tell that's something different for her. She loves that. But there's something about, hey, I want to tell you something. One day, there's going to, hey, we've spent our whole Christian life calling on a God that we've never seen. We've spent our whole Christian life having faith in something that we have seen His works and we have seen His power, but we've never seen Him. One day it's going to end in a physical touch. It's finished, but it's not over. Man, I'm thankful that I'm serving a true and a living God. If you're here this morning and you've never met this man named Jesus Christ, I want to tell you there's nothing like knowing that the work of the cross is finished in your life. See, when God created us, I believe that He created us 100% that we would seek back after Him. And until you find Jesus Christ, I don't believe that you'll ever truly, wholly be happy in your heart. If you've never met Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you how easy it is. See, I really think that if I said next Sunday we're going to have a baptizing, and if you get baptized, you're good with God, there would be some people that have never been baptized that say, okay, I want to be good with God, dunk me. Baptizing don't have anything to do with it. If I said, you know what, if you can give $500 to the church, you'll be good with God, there'd be some people that would scrounge up $500. But see, all that has with our works. The work was finished on the cross. And all you have to do to know Jesus Christ is say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me to forgive me of my sin. God, I know I sin. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and be king of my life. And you know what? It's a lot simpler than that. Because as a 7-year-old, I said, God, I know I've done things wrong. Please forgive me. That's all it took. That's all it took. It don't take you $500. It don't take you baptizing. It don't take you tithing. It don't take you being faithful to church. It takes faith in God, knowing that you need forgiveness of your sin. And every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to look into your heart. God, I'm thankful that we serve a true and a living God. God, I'm thankful that the cross finished the work, that I don't have to do anything now, but just trust and believe. God, I pray if there's one here in this congregation this morning that's never met you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that you'll speak to their heart right now. God, I believe it's important that we come to this altar to make it public, to let others know that we're trusting in Jesus Christ, but right where they're sitting at this morning, they can come to know you. They can allow you into their life. God, I pray if you're speaking to a heart anywhere in this congregation, God, I pray that even right now as we're praying, that they will believe, that they will trust, and ask you to forgive them of their sin. God, I want to thank you that the work on the cross is finished, but it's not over, and in one day I'll be in your presence. God, help us to always be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.